guys.
What's going on?
We're back. We're kind of on this routine.
Routine again. I'm like, yeah, we're trying, you know.
I'm getting the old college try.
Yeah, yeah.
Should be at Wasteland right now. I'm not getting cinema wasted.
Me neither.
It's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But it's bullshit. They closed the Super 8 down, so I didn't realize it was already closed. I knew they were tearing it down, but I didn't realize it was already fucking shut down. So the Host Hotel sold out way quicker than I imagined.
Yeah, so every time Jared and I went to Cinema Wasteland in Ohio, with the exception of one time, I think we stayed at the Super 8.
Dude, that's the part. That's the place to stay, honestly. That's the fucking party hotel.
Anyone that knows about that knows that the Super 8 is basically like in the same parking lot as the Host Hotel.
Yeah, you walked into the parking lot, down some sketchy steps, and you're at the Super 8.
And now they've torn down the Super 8, which leaves only the Host Hotel as the place to stay. And I guess they raised their rates just for that weekend too, because they suck.
Yeah, so it sold out. A, it sold out quick. But B, from what I heard, because they know now that there's no other competing hotel in the area, they bumped up their fucking prices.
That's terrible, man. Like,
which sucks, man. Like, I'm just gonna have to be on the ball if we're gonna go again,
for sure.
Because I'm not getting a hotel down the road, because there's no way I'm leaving there and driving.
Yeah, we can walk across the parking lot with a backpack and fill it with beers and eat, and then walk back to the Host Hotel, and it was cheaper than the Host Hotel.
Yeah, dude, there was fucking cheaper than the Host Hotel. There's like straight like parties. There's viewing rooms. There's like people who just set up their room as like a vendor room because they didn't need a table. So you could like roll in and be like black market VHS sales going on.
For sure. Yeah. I missed that. Yeah. That's, I guess.
Fucking barrel fires in the parking lot.
Man. Yeah. So next year or next cinema, we're going to have to really jump on the ball if we want to go, because there's only one hotel in town now, and it's the Host Hotel. And those are our woes. I also missed Hash Bash today. Not that I was going to go, but it's kind of a big deal here in Michigan. And it's WrestleMania weekend for those who give a fuck. I would be one of them. Jared would not be. So happy WrestleMania weekend. This episode, the movie that we are going to be discussing was chosen by Mr. Rexer himself. And it was a first watch for me. And I'm really glad that he chose this movie, because it's a banger. It is 1989's Black Past.
Olaf Ittenbach, his first movie. We covered his second one in a previous episode.
Yes.
Burning Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shuffling around.
Yeah, Burning Moon was, I would say, the more known out of...
I think that one got bigger, and then the one after that kind of got a big following as well. I feel like his first three, though, are kind of clumped together as what everybody looks at as, like, you need to check these three out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, amazing, just German SOV gore.
I mean,
I feel like this is a bookmark. This is, like, blueprint for how it should be done, like, if you're going to use practical effects and do an SOV movie, just watch this movie to figure out like how those effects should look.
I'm going to be
which
honest.
Which is almost unfair, because it's like shooting for the stars.
For sure.
Like, because I feel like from a homemade DIY perspective of practical effects and splatter, this like knocks almost everything else out of the fucking park.
Yeah, this is done very well for a SOV movie. And the gore is top shelf. The effects are really good for it being his first movie and an SOV movie. Mm. I never even heard of this movie. I'm going to be honest with you. I knew of Burning Moon, never even heard of this one. And I'm like, okay. So I watched it for the first time and was like, holy fuck, this is great, man. So we'll dive right into it. I got to say that the movie starts off with a bang, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right out of the fucking shoot, I'm like, really? Like, all right. We got a fucking kid feeding a dog outside and then gets hatcheted in the fucking head. And this kid's probably 7 or 8 years old, dude. And I'm like, here we go.
It's like the 60s, yeah? I can't remember the date. It's like
70. Yeah, they say the date in the beginning. I thought it was like 70-something.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was 60s or 70-something. But yeah, so it was like this dude possessed fucking whatever, just cleavers this little girl right in the fucking head.
And they make no bones about it, man. I mean, that cleaver gets in there, like just buries it right in their fucking head. It's so bad. But I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, and then as I, you know, progress into the movie, I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to get like some type of a, where are we going with this? What's the story? Because there isn't a whole lot of like liner notes on this movie.
So, I mean, the story of the movie, like, is so it begins with that fucking dude killing that girl, and then it fast forwards, and now it's Tommy and his family living in this new house, which is that house that the dude lived in who killed the girl. And basically, he ends up finding this mirror in the attic with a journal. It's inside of this fucking locked chest. And basically the journal talks about how this dude slaughtered his family and the mirror's possessed. Like, it's no good. And they're him and his friend are drinking and they're like, let's hang the fucking mirror up.
Yeah.
And then kind of goes from there of just being fucking like getting possessed by this fucking mirror. And that's kind of the story.
Yeah. And then you see, like, in the beginning, he's, like, kind of a normal, like, kid. He's in high school.
Yeah, normal high school kid.
And he gets, you know, bullied a little bit in the beginning by some douchebags in school or whatever. And he has a crush, a girl that he has his eye on. And then slowly you start to see like his descent into madness. He just starts losing his fucking mind and he's.
Well, because it starts with. Him and his friend find the mirror and they end up hanging it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that girl that he's been crushing on finally like talks to her, invites her over. She comes over and then she gets fucking possessed by the mirror.
Yes.
And she walks down the stairs into traffic and just gets smoked by a car.
Yeah.
And from that point on, like, that's when he fucking loses it and he goes into like this fucking like depression. Drinking includes a fucking montage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's like the girl comes back.
Yeah.
She's back to life and he has to fucking kill her multiple times.
She keeps coming back.
Yeah. A la Evil Dead.
Different, yeah.
Kind of like a fucking like nod to Evil Dead a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's fucking. So then he like has to kill her multiple times, like dismembering, shotgun.
Well, there's that. There's it's a different every time, and it gets fucking more and more gruesome every time. Like, almost like he's like up in the ante. Like, you still ain't dead. I gotta really fucking bring it.
Yeah.
This time, you know, like.
And then they play it off like as a dream.
Yeah, like dream sequences.
And it's kind of like, but it's like, is it a dream? Is it fake or is it for real?
But he's like, in real time, he's losing his fucking mind.
Yeah, dude, he's fucking not coping very well.
No, and he's not, he can't sleep.
He's like, he's drinking on whiskey bottle at the kitchen, at the breakfast table, and his parents are just like sternly shaking their fingers at him, basically. Like, it's totally cool, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Which is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But also, I'm pretty sure at the breakfast table, their family's drinking beer.
Yeah, what was up with that? They're drinking coffee and you just poured, like,
beer
in the fucking coffee or something.
It's 89 Berlin, dude. The wall just came down.
The one dude that beat him up in the beginning looked like one of the guys from the band EMF.
Dude, okay, if you're getting beat up by... If the dude at your school who's a tough guy is the guy with the fucking puffed up bangs... In a ponytail?
Like Power Windows era Geddy Lee from Rush with like the blazer with the sleeves pushed up and the shoulder pads. Like, he looked like the guy from like EMF or one of them.
That guy shouldn't be bullying anybody.
No.
Like, don't allow that guy to bully you.
No, that dude should have been suplexed on sight. I mean, he was probably like 126 soaking wet and he just like, you know, And now my man Tommy has a black eye and got punched in. He has a bloody nose, and it's like, dude, like, really? That nothing? Like, I had to like kind of chuckle when I seen that dude. The other guy looked like a legit badass kind of, I guess,
like the generic fucking douchebag.
Yeah, with like the jean jacket and like, yeah, you know. But the other guy, I'm like, dude, is that like the bass player from fucking Duran Duran? Like, what? It was weird. I don't know. But yeah, so Tommy gets, you know, kind of like that happens at the beginning.
Fucking dude from Pseudo Echo.
Yeah, Pseudo Echo. But so now we're into a thing where he can't sleep. He's having these like wicked nightmares of his crush coming back to life after she was hit by a car.
Yeah.
And with these dream sequences, as the movie progresses, the kills and the gore, it just escalates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, I don't want to say it's gradual, but I mean, like, you can notice like the second half of the movie, every time there's some kind of a kill or some kind of an attack, just there's more blood, there's more guts, there's more intestines, there's it all the way up until the end, which we'll get to that. But like, holy shit. I was like impressed by the practical effects and just the lengths that they went to get what they needed to get done in these scenes. And they're not, yeah, I don't even look at them as scenes. These are segments. They go on for like, you know, and then it just starts becoming like towards the end of the movie, they just start becoming these whole fucking set pieces of, mm-hmm, just fucking brutal, like, just, it's insanity. I'm like, dude, I can't believe I've never seen this movie, but B, how good it is for an SOV movie. I've seen a fucking 100 SOV movies, and this one's like really good to me.
Yeah. No, this movie's fucking great. Honestly, think I've seen people like bitch about it, but it's always coming from people who clearly aren't into SOV movies.
Yeah.
And they talk shit. They talk shit on the fucking special practical effects. They talk shit on the acting. And I'm like, honestly, if you're going to compare this to like other films in the same fucking realm, the acting's pretty fucking solid. Mm-hmm. The writing's solid. The practical effects are top notch. I mean, compare it to Andre Schnaz's Violent Shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Came out the same year. Love that movie. But if you're going to compare Black Past and Violent Shit, Black Past is like head and shoulders above it, like, for sure, practical effects and everything. It's just, it's kind of stands out in that field of homemade fucking gore splatter films.
Oh my God. Yeah. And
he has a fucking, you could see the talent fucking Olaf had then. And this was his first fucking movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gotta, you know, I got to tip the cap to just the vision that this guy had for this movie. Cause I felt like, I've said this 100 times. One of my favorite movies, low key, is like The Boogeyman from 1980.
You fucking love that movie.
I really do. And The Mirror is like the focal point of The Boogeyman, where, mm-hmm, this mirror is fucking cursed and the girl keeps trying to break this fucking mirror because she knows that there's an evil spirit inside the mirror. So here we got in this movie, this mirror was like in the attic. It got brought down. Shit starts happening, right? And the way that he like twisted it was, you don't know if it's fucking like real or fake or what. Like, you want to convince yourself that it's a dream sequence, but then shit's happening in real time too, where you're like, so he's just losing his fucking mind, I think, you know? So, like, it's not even about destroying the mirror. It's like, you're fucked now whether you destroy the mirror or not.
Well, then he tries to destroy the mirror.
Yeah.
He goes to rip it off, and it fucking, like, shoots him back.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's a lost cause. It's already done. Like, you, whatever possessed you, as you're possessed now, right? Like, but yeah, as the movie goes on, he is finding new ways to kill his crush. And we're talking like, I seen an axe go into the crotch of this chick. And I mean like cricket. Like, he just cricket the... And I couldn't believe what I was watching. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, and then there's another scene with the knife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the bathroom, in the crotch. And I'm like, they're just pulling no punches in this fucking movie, man. Like,
dude, a lot of this too was also almost like a fuck you to the censorship over in Germany at the time too.
Makes sense, yeah.
And it's just, yeah, dude, fucking go full bore.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know how they, I'm assuming they used animal intestines, but that's about as realistic as you can get. With
cows. I believe, yeah, those intestines, I believe, were animal intestines.
I mean, they look like straight up guts.
Yeah. Those were not those weren't made.
No.
Those were fucking real.
Them. Yeah.
They went down to the morgue at night, cut some people open.
Something, man. Something, man. Organ trading on the black market or something. Like, no, you see, like, a lot of dismemberment in this movie, but the guts look really like guts.
Oh, they are. They are.
And I gotta mention the bathroom scene with him and the razor blade, because that just, man, I had to walk that off for a minute, because I'm like, really? And it just kept getting worse and worse. So walk me through that scene, because...
Just him in the bathroom with the fucking razor?
He's just got like a normal razor.
Yeah.
Like an old school one you'd put in one of those like razors you shave with. The Judas Priest British steel razor.
It's just the old school fucking old school fucking razor blade.
And this dude is just randomly cutting himself with this razor in the weirdest, like he just cuts his side like by the love handle and it just like blood explodes out of a fucking wound, and then he cuts his chest. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's cutting his arms and he's actually taking chunks out. Like you can see like skin flaps being lifted. And this dude takes a razor blade to the fucking eyeball and cuts it like a paper cut across. And I'm like, oh my God, man. Like, what is happening? You know? And then doesn't he just like walk out of the bathroom after that? Like,
pretty sure after that, yeah, just yeah.
Like, what the hell, man?
So did you ever see the I'm blanking on the name, it was Salvador Dali. Short film that he made where he fucking, I think he uses like a cow's eye, I believe, but he razor blades cross this fucking girl's eyeball.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just like, it's kind of not really, it reminds me of that, I guess, just because that's when I see an eyeball, like razor blade eyeball scene, that's what I think of, is that fucking film.
Fuck. See, my whole thing is don't fuck with the eyes, don't fuck with the trach. I don't wear turtlenecks for a reason, dude. I get all like heebie-jeebie squeamish with the fucking trachea. Like,
what Saw movie was it where fucking homeboy took the pen and just jammed it?
Wasn't ready. Okay. And it just was on IFC, I think, way back in the day. And I'm just like, oh, okay. This dude's got his head in a box of water. He's going to drown. He reaches in his pocket and pulls out a hollow steel pipe that's sharpened at the end and just jabs it in his trach, and I almost threw up on fucking cue.
It was a pen.
Or a pen.
It was his pen. He unscrewed it and took it off, so he just had the fucking...
Fucking God, dude.
And just like, jammed it in his fucking throat.
I can't do it, man. Like, no trach, no neck. I can't do it, man. It's just no good, you know? And, like, the eyeball, too. Mm-hmm. Like the first time I seen Zombie and I seen the splinter go in that chick's eye, I just was like, I got ill. I'm like, God, I'll watch someone get their fucking head cut off or whatever, but the trach in the eyes, like, let's not fuck with that. You know? And then of course, at some point in this movie, a dude's fucking schlong got like nailed to a fucking board with hammer and nail. And that was just,
yeah, we'll get to that whole sequence.
It went on way too long. So if you haven't seen this movie yet, you're in for a fucking treat, because that happens.
So yeah, like he's kind of in this mist of like, you're not really sure what's a dream, what's heck really happening. Like when he's chopping up his girlfriend who keeps coming back, you don't know like really is this happening or is this a dream, because almost every time he does it, he wakes up out of like a sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets to a point where he now gets possessed.
Yes.
And he has a this transformation scene, which is kind of like very reminiscent of Demons.
I was going to say, yeah.
Which, I mean, you kind of expect when you're making a movie, like someone's first movie, you're going to have shit that's kind of pulling from a couple of different things. So I feel this one's like Evil Dead and then this one little thing from Demons. But it's pulled off well. I mean, it's pretty fucking good. Especially keeping in mind that this is somebody just making a movie with like zero budget and like friends for the most part. Like this fucking transformation sequence, pretty fucking solid. But then once he transforms, it's basically he goes on a fucking spree of just slaughtering his fucking family.
Yeah. Which was the, what was it, the sister in the bathroom? Or
with the knife? Yeah, just stabbed. And I was talking to you about this earlier. Like, you see people get stabbed in the chest or fucking, like, axed to the face. Whatever, you've seen these what in horror movies countless times.
Yeah.
It's whenever you see, like, shit done randomly, like, that has a, I think to me anyway, it has a bigger effect. So, like, he stabs his sister, like, in the lower back. And then, like, the stabbing, and then he like, pulls the knife out. And I don't know what it is about, like, it's, like, the location of it, because it's so just, like, off-kilter from what you would normally see.
Yeah.
It just has a more of an effect. And then you see the same thing, like, she's outside, like, crawling away, and he, like, does, like, the same thing in, like, the same type of location, where it's, like, such an odd spot that you don't normally see.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a, it's more of an, it's, like, more effective.
Yeah. It's because it's, like, a frenzied stabbing.
Yeah.
Like it don't matter where you're getting stabbed. You're getting stabbed somewhere and it doesn't seem planned out or like strategic. It's just like you're getting like that's always good.
Yeah.
And then there's the scene at the end with the chainsaw, which is I've never seen that in a movie before with the
oh, the fucking
so that did it for me. I'm like, okay, that's original and creative and fucking maniacal.
Dude, nothing cuts like a still.
Yeah. And they use an actual still chainsaw at the end too.
This is like a dismemberment and then just right up the center.
Oh, God, yeah.
Kind of picture Terrifier with the saw.
Yep.
But it's a chainsaw.
Yeah. And then the twitching.
And they show most of it.
Yeah. There's not a lot of cutaway. It they stay on.
The disemboweling part is just like, dude, as soon as it hits the stomach, dude, you see just guts fly.
Yeah.
It's like confetti.
I mean, how cool is that, though? Like for an SOV film. Like, I mean, you got your boy.
Dude, this movie just puts the stamp on his talent when it comes to making effects, which he fucking built a career on.
He did.
And it's understandable why. Like, this is his first fucking movie. He did some short films before that, never really got released. But the effects work in this is phenomenal for what it is.
I can't really think of a SOV film that had this caliber of practical effects besides the one we did recently where we were, what movie was that a couple episodes ago where we were like, well, the practical effects are good enough.
What the fuck did we do a couple episodes ago?
I'm blanking, but it was an SOV film. It was a couple episodes ago and we were like, well, the practical effects are good enough. They were okay.
Why am I blanking on the movie?
I know.
What was the last movie we did?
Oh, House on Sorority Row.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like a couple before that, it was like, well, yeah, the practical effects are like good enough.
They're passable.
But usually that's the case with SOV films, you know?
Oh, no. Was it Absurd?
Maybe.
Which, I mean, it's not SOV.
No.
But the practical effects are good. But I feel like, I honestly, let's compare those two because I feel the effects for this are at least on the same level,
if not better, than Absurd.
And Absurd was a bigger fucking movie.
Yeah, it was a major release for regionally. It was kind of a big deal. It was like it was pitched as a zombie movie and also as a sequel to Anthropophagus, which had a cult following and was kind of big in Italy and stuff. But
yeah,
these effects, I would say that they're slightly better than...
Do the Pepsi Challenge on these two any day.
All day. I mean, if you have not seen Black Pass, let me just let everyone know it is on YouTube and you have to manually put on the subtitles. It's in German. And I didn't know that 10 minutes into the movie. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they're saying. If you click closed captioning, it will put up the subtitles.
And in English. Massacre Video released it. So I think they might have some DVDs still.
Okay. Yeah, true.
The VHS, if it's long sold out, I think they did a VHS release of it too. But yeah, I think the DVD, they might still have copies. You can find it floating around somewhere.
Yeah, English subs. The movie is all in German.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to want those subtitles for sure.
But then, yeah, after so slaughtering the family, then there's like the hell sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of another thing that he ended up doing in Burning Moon. There's the hell sequence. And it's just like all these ways of being tortured.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets fucking like his effects on display. And it's fucking great. But the fucking one, like, so. Oh, well, no, that was a scene that wasn't the hell sequence. That was one. Because he's kind of in one of his dream sequences, I think it's right before he gets possessed, is him kind of being tortured by that fucking, the doctor nurse.
Oh, with the syringe in the eyeball. He's strapped to a fucking gurney. Yeah,
fucking disembowelment.
Yeah.
Fucking pulled up by the chain wrapped around his fucking legs and he's hoisted up.
Yep. That scene's rough too.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy, dude.
That scene's fucking great.
Yeah, and then like they put a syringe into his eyeball, but then they're like pumping fluid into the fucking eyeball. It's like, oh my God, man.
So there's that scene.
Yeah.
Which oh my God. Lends itself to basically like the hell fucking torture fucking scene and homeboy getting his fucking dick hammered to a fucking board. And then at one point, there's a fucking knife on it while a hammer's hitting the nail.
man. Just a insane sequence of that whole thing. And it goes on for a good amount of time, too. You're like, man, yeah. You guys are really focusing in on this. Like, and again, not a lot of cutaway.
No.
I mean, they'll cut away, but they'll come right back to it, and they will pick off where they left off. It's like, well, the nail's in it. Cut away, we're coming back. Nail's still in it, but we're doing this now.
Yeah.
Cut away.
Now there's a knife.
That's still the case, but we're doing more too. Like, oh my God, dude. Like I was kind of beside myself when I checked this movie out. I was like, damn, they're really going there, man. And it just kept getting like more crazy as the movie went on. But it never once did it seem far fetched or like, you know, obnoxious or overkill on anything. It really
like the biggest complaint I see on this, which I mean, I can see it, is they're saying that certain scenes drag on.
Okay.
They're like unnecessary where it's just like him walking or him sitting, whatever. And it's like, yeah, I could kind of see that.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's the only thing there is to complain about. And honestly, to me, that isn't even a fucking complaint.
No.
Like I didn't see anything about this. There's nothing in this movie where I'm just like, can we fucking pick up the pace? Can we fucking hurry up? Or I feel like I'm just bored sitting around.
Yeah.
I think it just works. Like the acting's not top notch, but it's not horrible. I don't even really think it's bad. It is what it is. If you're going for like a cheap fucking German splatter film.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely, it's definitely one of the better ones I've ever seen for SOV and for like the gore.
Dude,
for sure. It's really good. I would highly suggest if you're like me and you've never seen it, this was a first time watch for me, definitely check it out. If you're into like, especially if you're into gore, and it's very creative how they do the scenes and how everything's put together. And the story is not bad. The acting is good enough to where it's not lagging on or super cheesy. It's like believable.
Yeah.
And it might help that it's German with English subtitles. So maybe like the delivery of what they're saying doesn't come across like an SOV film when it's just like if you ever watch fucking Cannibal Camp Out, dude, the delivery, they're reading straight off of a piece of paper someone's holding that's not on camera. Like they're like, hey, it looks like you guys are going camping. Be careful. It's not like that, right? Maybe it's like that in German and people are like, get the fuck out of here. But with the English subtitles, you're like, well, I don't know what the fuck they're saying, but I can read what they're saying. And like,
it could be like Things where it's just completely overdubbed.
Oh, man.
Dude, because it didn't pick up the brother. Fucking.
Still waiting for that chorus to kick in like a Cinderella ballad, dude. Never happened. But yeah, dude. So then we get to towards the end of the movie when shit really starts to derail and things start getting really fucking crazy.
Yeah, where it's just, I mean, his family slaughtered.
He becomes like an indestructible fucking, like, you know, with the demons.
It's like, all demoned out.
And like, they keep, you know, I might be kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but like, he's getting wounded and but it's having no effect, and he's almost like laughing it off. And then it becomes like she is laughing it off, where he's like trying to kill her for good, and she's just like, that's all you got?
Mm-hmm.
And keeps coming back, and she's like out of her mind and laughing about it and shit. And that's when we get like, sever the fucking head, sever the fucking arms, sever the legs, cut her in half from the crotch up. Like, we're going to make sure that you don't come back this time. But like, yeah, that whole ending, how that, like, it just.
And then, yeah, she's just fucking quadsected at that point.
Yeah. And the cool, like, effect with, like, the arm twitching and the legs twitching.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, but, you know, the guts just everywhere. It's so cool, man. But then a couple of his boys.
Yeah, dude, his fucking. The one friend that he's like, he found the mirror with.
Yeah.
Ends up being able to fucking off him because they go at it and he's trying to stop him.
Originally, they're going to like check on him because they're like.
Yeah, because they haven't heard from him in a minute.
Yeah, they're like, man, he's really taking this like.
The whole death of his girlfriend.
Yeah, like he's taking this pretty tough. I didn't know it would have this type of effect on him. We should go check on him, you know, and there's a car ride where there's some. Conversation about like, man, he's really like kind of losing it, you know, we should go like make sure he's all right.
Yeah.
And then one friend stays in the car and the other one goes in and then instantly is fucking attacked by this guy, and then that turns into a melee, right? And homeboy in the car has no idea that this shit's going on, and then he gets wounded. Tommy gets wounded a few times, but it's just having no effect on him because he's like fucking beyond possessed. He's like a demon now or something.
100% demon.
Yeah.
He's 100% pure grade demon.
Yeah. And that's when the end comes to like a crescendo of just gore and splatter, and they just leave it all out on the table.
He fucking ends up blasting Tommy in the stomach with the axe.
Yep.
Fucking disemboweling him. He goes into the mirror, breaks the fucking mirror.
Yep.
And then just kind of just like disintegrates.
Yeah, it's weird. So maybe that's my only complaint of the movie, but how do you land that plane, right? I mean, shit. But yeah. And then it ends with him or like homeboy drinking a beer by the car after everything's all like set and done.
Behind the ground in the car.
And then lo and behold, Petra?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of walks by and like looks back, and it's like a freeze frame. So she's like, is she still alive? Is this dude going into a dream sequence separately? What does that end mean? I'm kind of clueless on that because she turns around. It's like, okay, so she's not dead, or is this a dream being dreamt by somebody else?
Yeah.
Because homeboy's just like, I just went through hell and back. I'm going to like open a beer and lean up against my car. Like, what the fuck just happened? And then here she comes, who's been killed 15 times in the movie. In full tack with high heels on, turns around and just like
crispy white dress,
flips a smile at him, and then freeze frame, roll credits. What the fuck does that mean? So
rolls the slowest credits ever.
Yeah. But yeah, Black Past, excellent SOV movie. If you know, definitely if you're into gore, there's some very good gore in this movie.
There's fucking amazing gore in this movie.
And for most people, that might be the best selling point on a first time watch as well. I don't care for X, Y, and Z, but the gore is great. Because I'm telling you right now, the gore is great. And it's kind of not an original story, but twisted in a way to where it's not completely ripping anything off. It's just pulling from different influences.
Yeah, I mean, you could see some Evil Dead influence in this. Mm-hmm. You can see, like I said, some demons influence in this. But it's... I feel it's kind of its own.
Yeah, it stands alone. I didn't really feel like it was borrowing too heavily from anything.
No, absolutely not. Like there's things like oh yeah, the girlfriend who dies and then keeps coming back, kind of from Evil Dead.
Right.
The sequence of when he turns into a demon, pretty much from Demons.
Yeah.
even to the whole thing of like his teeth falling out and the demon teeth coming in. But I mean,
even like, him finding the mirror in the diary in the attic is almost like the Necronomicon book, the Book of the Dead kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what is this? Oh shit, I just like opened up a Pandora's box here. And
like it definitely borrows like some aspects from other things, but
you can't
what
really,
doesn't
yeah you can't really
talking about a fucking 1989 SOV film.
Like, yeah, all in all, excellent movie. And the music was composed by a guy named Norman Bates. So there you go. All right, so Black Past.
Yeah.
Check it out.
That's
if you
it.
Haven't.
Fucking 100% worth a check out. I will 100% say if the reason you don't go to SOV films is because the shitty acting or the shitty effects or whatever, have this be your exception.
Yeah.
And check this out if you haven't. I feel like Germans do it better when it comes to this type of thing. I feel like the American equivalent to this is going to be Brian Pollan.
Yeah.
His movies, Fetus, Bone Sickness, fucking shit. All of them, Cryptoplasm, fucking Morbid Tales. He is, I feel like, the equivalent of what Olaf Ittenbach is to Germany. Definitely worth a check out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it, once again, before we move on, it is on YouTube. Just type in Black Past 1989 and make sure you manually turn on the closed captioning so you can get the subtitles. Unless you speak fluid German, then you won't need to. But what have you been jamming, Jared?
So I got like a stack of records still that like I haven't put away. So like I was doing my fucking DJ nights. And I put everything else away, and I just took the records that I had in my crate, and I put them up against my Street Fighter cabinet. And I put most of them away, but I still have this one stack. So I've been, instead of just, like, taking the 10 minutes to find where they go and putting them away, I just leave them there. And then, like, once a day I'll find a record in that stack that I want to listen to, and then once it's done, I put it away. So I've been going through that.
Eventually, they'll all be put back.
Yeah, I got like a very small stack left. But fucking, I was listening to Crow from Japan.
Okay. Just
awesome fucking punk. Major Accident, which is like, I think they're from England. Boy punk band.
Mm-hmm.
Very Clockwork Orange aesthetic going on there. Fucking album is called Clockwork Heroes. Go, yeah, there you go.
Okay, cool.
Some Scorps. Listen to Scorpions.
Always room for Scorps.
Fucking what else? Listen to some Gooka, as always. Gizm. Shit. Fuck, there was some Ambush, or not Ambush. Well, actually, yeah, I was listening to Ambush. But Orphan, which is a newer Detroit band. If you like, kind of like death rock, fucking goth, punk, right up your fucking alley. They're fucking amazing, actually. I fucking love it. They put out like it's a 2-song demo. Definitely worth checking out, called Orphan. Fuck the Wastelander promo tape that came out like a handful of months ago.
Sweet.
Spinning that again.
Yo, everybody check out Wastelander, man.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, check out Wastelander. They've been around for a minute. They kind of went on a hiatus, but they're back in POG form. Definitely check them out.
Yeah, Wastelander rules.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been listening to. I know there's more because, like I said, I'm just pulling records, but I can't think of a fucking another one. But you guys know the realm that I live in.
Yeah. Well, I'm bummed out that I can't say that. But I wish I could have caught Wastelander at the Acid Witch show for Halloween. But I was in Ohio catching a band from Italy called Fulci.
Yeah, see, you're talking about like being bummed you're missing Acid Witch. Granted, yes, it's a good time. But you've seen them. They're from here, bud.
I know.
Granted, Fulci may come back, but they may not.
Yeah. And I'm not really disappointed in my choice because Fulci was awesome. And Mulder fucking rules.
Yeah.
which they're coming here soon. Excited for that. That band rips. There's been a ton of shit that has come out in the past since we did our last episode.
You're so on top of new releases, and I am not anymore.
Always digging.
Like, you kind of blow my mind with, because I'll dig for shit, but I'm never like on top of what just got released. You're like, oh, this got released today, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. New Coffins came out last Friday.
That album's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's all I've been. I mean, 90% of everything I'm listening to is the new Coffins release. It's fucking 10 out of 10. It's called Sinister Oath. They're not rewriting history, but it's just really good death metal with some doom metal tangents in there. It's Coffins. They've been doing it since 96, and I have yet to find a band that does it better than them.
They kind of figured out the formula for it.
And they don't stray away from it, and it doesn't get old or stale. They just find new ways. I mean, some albums lean more towards the punk. Some albums lean more towards the doom and some towards the death metal, but they all mix all three elements in there just perfectly for me. And one day I'll get to see that band before I die, even if you got to wheel me in a fucking wheelchair. Yeah, Coffins, new Witch Vomit. I don't know how you guys feel about that band, if you know who they are, but the new Witch Vomit came out last Friday as well, or last week, I think. And that's just really a nod to old school death metal. Iron Monkey is back.
They are back.
And shout out to Dean Barry. Whoop.
Yeah, bud.
Spleen and Goad is their album. And they're one of the pioneers of the sludge genre. They've been around forever. And always got room for some Iron Monkey. Sadistic Ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Have released a new single, and they have some new stuff coming out at some point. The single's called Worm Witch. It rips. Some new Necrot, if you're into them. They released a new single from, I'm guessing, a release that's coming out at some point. Vulture. I think they're from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vulture. Victim of the Blade Vulture. They got some new material out. I think they released a single.
Yeah, I can't wait for that new album to come out.
It sounds really good. Their last one was good, but I mean, Victim of the Blade is one of the greatest releases of
the last decade. I remember jamming that in our hotel room at Wasteland, and Monty was in there, and the next day he hit me up. He's like, what the fuck was that record you were spinning when I came in your room?
I think me and you like spun that for months, like put in Vulture. And then they had the second, the Guillotine was good too. Mm-hmm. That was the one after that. And then they had one after. But yeah, they got some new stuff out. Vulture Rules. Soprogenous. Purified in the Blood of Wimps EP. Check it out. Riffmaster Ted and all his glory. It's some bludgeoning fucking like grind. It's so good, dude. I love it. And just the name of the EP is great too, right? Deterioration released two new singles. I believe they have a release coming out soon, and they're playing here in 2 weeks on a banger of a show.
Yeah, that's going to be a sick show with World Peace.
Yes. Okay. Bongzilla, Dabbing Rosin in Europe. Live album. Fucking awesome. Been listening to that, and Euphemomet has just released a new album titled Kismet, if I'm pronouncing both that and the name correctly. I've been corrected more than once on how to pronounce Euphemomet, Euphemamet, UFO Mamet. I just call them Euphemomet. I've loved that band for quite some time. And the new stuff is really good. So check that out.
Dude, I got two that I didn't think of.
Bring it.
So the new Archigathis LP split with Sir.
Okay.
Sir's a one-man mince band. Can't remember where they're fucking from. But both sides are stellar. Archigathis, you know what you're getting. If you've stuck with this band, you know exactly what you're getting. It's kind of like a... Mincy gore grind, fucking just like pummeling.
Oh yeah,
amazing. Usher, fucking same boat for the most part. Fucking great. But also what just recently dropped, I want to say within the past couple days, is the second full length of Friends of Hell.
Awesome. Good plug, man. So Jared turned me on to this band, and Friends of Hell is great, man. If you like traditional doom metal or that like pentagram aesthetic, these guys nail it, man. And it's like kind of a super group at this point now.
Yeah, and I always forget, like, I think every time I try to bring this up to you when talking about it with you, I'm like, yeah, the guy from, and I blank on everybody that did it. At one point, they had the bass player from fucking
Electric Wizard,
one of their old bass players.
Yeah.
But I think from between the first album to this album, everybody but the singer was replaced. But right. It's with other members from, like, I think, like, Nephilim. Like, yeah. I think the dude from Nephilim's in it. And it's like all members from these like metal bands, like not doom bands, but like black metal and black thrash type bands.
Yep.
But it's an amazing fucking group.
Yeah. It's very in the vein of like, you know, traditional doom, you know, pentagram, candle.
Shit. They stole their name from fucking
Witchfinder General,
second album.
Yeah. They're great. I haven't really jammed that newest release more than once. I think I put it on once because they made a music video for one of the singles.
Yeah.
And they are just like straight playing the role. Like they are like spiked gauntlets, holding skulls.
Oh yeah, dude.
Very fucking metal. I love it. It's great. But I will say that their first release was fucking flawless. It was really, really good. So I would imagine the new one's probably on par with that.
They based the album artwork off of the fucking LP that got put out back for the Church of Satan.
Okay.
They did like an LP with like the whole fucking like a fucking ritual, whatever the fuck it's called. But it's the same album, basically. It's the same album artwork.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I haven't even seen the artwork or anything. I seen the video. They had a music video. Yeah, Friends of Hell. Definitely check them out if you like, you know, some old school doom metal.
Yeah, dude. They fucking, they definitely hit the fucking like modern trad doom. Checkbox.
Keeping the shit alive.
Yeah, dude.
As they should. What have you been watching, dude?
Boom, boom, boom. What have I been watching? Fuck, dude. Black Mold. Check that out again for fucking... It's been a minute, which we is the... Yeah, dude, I showed you because I knew you hadn't seen it. I'm like, you got to check this out. short film / fucking elongated music video fucking for Shitfucker, which is fucking amazing. It's just, I mean, it's just an amazing like SOV short film.
Of, definitely dug it.
Yeah. Hunting down like where's Dick at?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just fucking definitely has some throws and now some nods to fucking Black Pass and Olaf Entenbach. A few things in it. Just leave it at that. There's a few nods, more than one. So watch that. Watched Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Fucking Jordan checked it out and she's like, I think I've watched enough.
Yeah. Dude, that's so good. What the fuck is on TV? I had to look up to see what the fuck was on TV. That's great. I love it. She wasn't ready now.
Fucking what else, man?
I love that movie, by the way. Sledgehammer's great, man. Yeah, it's a good time, man.
It is, 100%. Blue Velvet.
Classic.
I might get back in my fucking thing. I used to watch that movie like once a week at least.
You did. You went through a thing like during pandemic, I believe.
Almost every day I was printing it on.
Yeah.
I was just like, this fucking movie's amazing.
And you still haven't seen...
Inland?
Well, no. And by the way, that's on one of the streaming sites.
Someone has it now?
Yeah.
Because I don't own it. That's kind of the reason I haven't watched it, because I don't own it.
It's on, like, I don't know. I could be wrong. Don't hold me to it. But it's on, like, either Max or Hulu or something. It's on one of those.
Fuck me.
And I was like, okay, now it's available to watch somewhere. So,
all right.
Definitely get that. And Wild at Heart, brother.
Yeah, I have not seen
it. You're going to need that.
I know I need it. I know about it. I know all about it. I don't own it.
I mean, I'm going to ease you into the straight story. Okay. But... David Lynch could take liquid form if he so desired.
Did you watch, I think he did it during the pandemic,
the interview with the with the monkey?
No. Well, no, that movie, that's fucking great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I can't, I'm blanking on the name of that, but that was on like Netflix for a minute. No, but when he was doing the weather daily.
No.
You haven't?
No.
Holy shit. Okay, well, it's on fucking, someone put them all together in a collection on YouTube.
Oh my God.
It's just him sitting at his desk and he just looks out the window. He's like, yeah, it's such and such time on this date in LA and the weather, it's looks pretty nice outside.
That has to be gold. I did not know about it. Maybe, I don't know.
I think he did like 27 of them.
That's pretty fucking sweet. I'm on that for sure. But yeah, Wild at Heart, check that out, man. And I'm sure there's some people that are going to hear this episode that would agree with me.
Oh, it's... yeah. I mean, the fact that I'm surprised I haven't seen it yet. But it's one of those things where it's like Wild at Heart and Inland Empire, I never see streaming anywhere and I do not own them.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's like, fuck, I need to buy them and I never really think about buying them.
There is a copy of Inland on DVD at Taylortown.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
still?
It's like $5. And I was going to get it last time, but I'm like, no one's going to buy this. I didn't have any cash
on
me. No,
one fucking would. The odds of somebody who would be into that movie showing up there.
And it's in a random booth that has like novels and books, and there's just a small box with like 20 DVDs in it, and that was one of them in there. And they have a couple VHS that aren't worth the fuck or whatever, but I'm like, that'll be here next time I come back. I didn't have any cash on me, but I'm like, a DVD copy of Inland Empire. Like,
dude, I'd go grab that, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Next time I go there, I'm definitely going to grab it. So it's awesome. And Wild at Heart's classic, dude. Nicolas Cage, Laura Dern, and the frog guy at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fucking weird shit. Love it. But yeah, definitely. Blue Velvet's a good, it's a good.
Fucking dude. Love it. Dude, I love that fucking Tony, Rest and Festering Slime. I brought up fucking Blue Velvet a while ago when I was like watching it all the time about how initially he was supposed to be breathing in helium.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that'd be fucking, I'm like, it fits with Lynch. I'm like, and I would love to hear those scenes of him huffing in and then saying those lines afterwards in like a high ass helium voice. I showed you that, right? He fucking made it and sent it to us.
Oh yeah. You showed. Yeah. I remember that.
Still to this day, fucking love it. Yeah. It's still fucking amazing and makes me laugh.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it does. It does the majesty of the movie no justice, but it's good for like just shock value. It's just funny. Yeah. It's so out of hand.
Like him saying like daddy wants to fuck with a high pitched voice.
Yeah.
Go for a ride. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that whole thing. Yeah.
What are those?
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, man. That's a good find. Good find.
I just love that he did that for us. Cheers, bud.
Yeah. Long time listener. Good dude.
Long time listener. First time caller. But yeah, that's basically, I mean, there's some other shit in there, but that's basically what I've been watching.
I am going to blow your mind.
I'm ready.
And maybe perk up some ears. I watched the new Roadhouse.
Yeah, I fucking know you did. And I don't even know. I may check it out, but I don't know if I agree with what you told me.
The blowing your mind part isn't the fact that I watched it because I texted you that I was watching it.
No, I know.
The blowing
I know,
your mind
part. But I know what you're about to say.
I kind of like
I
it.
I know, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I don't believe you.
I went into it knowing I wasn't going to like it. Didn't want to like it, and I ended up liking it. So what I did was, in my mind, I'm like, okay, original Roadhouse. Jimmy, Brad Wesley's henchman, for 1989 was the 1989 version of a douchebag. Played it very well. Conor McGregor is a fucking douchebag, and he plays it exactly the way you think.
Because he doesn't have to act.
No. But the fact that it's natural, it's like, fuck this guy. What a douche. But then, like, you're like, that's what makes it. That's what makes it. And I'm sorry, we're so far removed from Donnie Darko. Jake Gyllenhaal is fucking awesome in this movie. I'm sorry. He's just...
Well, yeah, I wasn't even worried about that.
I can't get any movie, anything I've seen him in after Donnie Darko, I can't see anything but Donnie Darko until I've seen this.
Even Zodiac?
I don't think I've ever sat and watched the whole fucking thing. No,
nah, it's so good.
I've seen like some other movies I can't think of right now. He's been in a ton of shit. He's been around forever.
Yeah,
Donnie Darko is one of the greatest fucking films of all time. Never seen the sequel.
Yeah,
don't think I want to.
Or it's his sister. Yeah.
But I kind of dig the new Roadhouse. Dude, I'm not saying it's going to fucking change.
What the fuck's up with the... He's like an ex-UFC fighter, mm-hmm. and then they end up fighting in a cage, and there's a boat that gets, like, launched.
You got to watch the movie.
Do I want to?
He's Dalton. And he has a past, just like Swayze did. He killed somebody. And it fucks him up. And then he's like down on his luck. And
is there even a bar involved?
Yeah. Yeah. He goes to a bar, but it's not called the Double Deuce.
Well, yeah, I figured it was like changing shit up.
But yeah. And he's hired for 1 month to clean it up. And then he's free to go. And then he ends up getting linked in with someone who's bought up all of the property
around
except that bar and will not.
And McGregor is his fucking, that dude's douchebag.
No. And yes.
All right. All right. So, yeah. Okay.
And the guy that's the new Brad Wesley,
mm-hmm.
straight fucking douchebag too. So, but no, it's cool to see him get like mollywopped by Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, you want to see him get their ass beat. And the fight scene between McGregor and Gyllenhaal at the end is pretty fucking vicious. It's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, from what I've seen of McGregor, I'm actually surprised he was okay with getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, but I mean, they made it to where like he had to be literally fucking stabbed 50 times in order for him. He was like indestructible. He was that bad. But the way it happens, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's fucking sweet at the end. I was even like, okay, that was pretty cool. But
dude, I've been reading like threads and it when that came out, and like people are like, oh, everybody's just remembering the original Roadhouse with rose-colored lenses. That movie was not good. It was so cheesy. And I'm like, pump the brakes right there, buddy.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they're acting like they liked it only because this remake's coming out. And I'm like, you can go fuck yourself off. I went and seen it in a theater because that movie's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
There's nothing cheesy. That movie's fucking great. Do not badmouth fucking Roadhouse. No. Go fuck yourself.
Roadhouse rules. It's a good time. And it'll never die. The original Roadhouse is one of the best ever. And I still jam that fucking title, that theme song at the end. It's just fucking
when he's jumping in the fucking lake.
Oh, man. That's fucking the Jeff Healy band. And the song's called When the Night Comes Falling. It's mm-hmm. my shower tune. Or maybe On the Way to Work.
Fucking the band from Dust Till Dawn's in the beginning.
Yes.
Along with the chick who plays fucking Barbara in the remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, she kicks fucking...
There's some connectors in the original Roadhouse. They fucking... There's some connectors there, man.
There is. And Keith David.
Keith fucking David.
Didn't get a big enough role.
Keith David.
He was supposed to have a bigger role in that movie, man.
Yeah. There's a bunch of shit that was supposed to be in that movie. There was supposed to be a scene where they were doing fucking ballet. Did you know that?
No, I don't know the ins and outs of, but I know he was supposed to have a bigger role, like a past with the bar, or like he owned mm-hmm. it at one point and didn't want to deal with the fucking bullshit no more.
Yeah.
But he just ends up being just a bartender and has a couple lines in the movie. But he's like credited in the beginning of the movie as one of the first names.
Yeah. He's like credited way up there.
It's like, dude, and you watch him in The Thing and you watch him in They Live and you're like, dude, he could have really amped that movie up even more with his... I mean, he's like a strong fucking like personality to put in there, but I mean, I don't know why they dropped the ball on that, but if I could see an uncut version of it with his scenes like where he was supposed to be factored in, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But that's probably stored in a fucking vault somewhere next to the actual original Cobra, which we're on the hunt.
So if anybody's got that working print of Cobra...
We're going to need that. We're going to need that, dude.
I will find it one day.
Dude. I need a DoorDash.
I still believe that exists. I believe it exists. I will fucking find it. Because that is the cut of fucking Cobra I need. Because yeah. That is the connector of where, like, you got the Cobra now where it has, like, slasher elements. That's that the fucking work print is what holds that shit together.
I've read the folklore. I'm well aware, and I would love to see it one day.
I still have
it's
not found
it. It's out
there
somewhere.
I will. One day I will find that shit. I found Terminal USA, which is that goddamn movie I watched when I was a kid on like PBS at 2 a.m.
This was.
I found it years later. I got it. I have 2 copies of it now. I will get that fucking work print of Cobra. Goddamn happened.
We'll pop some cans and pop some corn and we'll make it happen.
I will do a. Everyone will know when I have it because I will rent a theater and we're going to do a screening. Yeah,
I'm not going to say that I have the work print of Cobra, but you're going to see signs. All right. So, New Roadhouse. I like it, but everyone's entitled to their opinion. I understand if you don't. I didn't think I was going to like it, and I did. But aside from that, Slumber Party Massacre 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because
fuck yeah.
Can't remember the last time I watched that one. And here's a quick story about Pieces. Mm-hmm. I watched Pieces because I got a new position at my job where I'm teamed up with a kid that's 21 that's into like basic franchise horror, and he plays a fuck ton of World of Warcraft. Got all the cool, nerd traits, and I'm on my phone dicking around, and I'm like, yeah, if you like Friday the 13th, you might like some of these other movies. And I don't know if you remember where you and I were going back and forth a couple summers ago, where summers are for slashers, and then you were doing summers are for
SOV summer, dude.
Slasher summer. So I would post a picture of my tape and then put the trailer as like next to it, right? Mm-hmm. I showed him Pieces, the trailer. He's like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, oh, it's a movie called Pieces. It came out in the 80s. It's like a slasher movie. And he's like, I'm going to go home and watch that. That looks like, where's it at? I'm like, it's on Tubi. If you've, he's like, it's on Tubi? I love Tubi. I watch it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, dude. That, I didn't think for a fucking second. This was before we had 3 days off for Easter weekend.
Yeah.
I'm like, he ain't going to fucking watch it, dude. Whatever, dude. He comes back on Tuesday.
He actually watched it?
He's like, Pieces is fucking awesome, dude.
Fucking nice.
He's like, dude, and Tubi treated me because there was only 1 or 2 ads. So I actually didn't have to sit through all the ads. I don't know if it's because I don't watch it as much as other people, but
I noticed with Tubi, some movies have like very minimal.
Yeah.
Others, it's like fucking 8.
Yeah. But he was like, dude, I love it. He's like, I need more movies like that. So I showed him the fucking clip of the raft scene from The Burning. I'm like, if you like Pieces, you'll like this. So I'm kind of like edging him into.
Dude, yeah. If he was okay with like, if you can show somebody, especially a younger person, and like a Spanish fucking movie or an Italian movie, and they're okay with the dubbing, there's a window.
The trailer.
There's so many fucking things you can show them,
dude.
You know they're gonna be okay with fucking shit dubbing. Like, cool.
Yeah, he loved it. He's like, dude, that movie fucking rules, dude. I'm like, yeah, it's on. Grab a Blu-ray of it, or you know, it comes with puzzle pieces and like some collectibles and shit. He's like, the beginning of that movie is fucking crazy. Like, he hacks his mom up with an axe, and like then he's like, I'm not gonna lie, the acting was shitty. Like when the cops open up the closet door and he's acting like he's a victim when clearly he wasn't. I'm like, yeah, but that's kind of the allure of the whole like 80s slasher.
But honestly, that whole scene though, like it's a kid hiding in a closet. He's played off like a scared kid who went in there when his mom got hacked up.
Yeah. But he dug it.
That's fucking killer.
And I even kind of like tongue-in-cheek tested him, like, what'd you think of the ending? He's like, dude, I've never seen what it looks like to have your ball sack exploded. I'm like, you did watch it all the way through, you know? And he was, like, hyped up on it, so I'm trying to get him to, watch The Prowler and The Burning.
Oh, like, dude, he just opened up a fucking floodgate.
Yeah.
Because now you know that he's, like, if he liked Pieces, which is fucking phenomenal, and he's okay with the fucking dubbing and the bat, and there's, like, all those other slashers from the 80s that he didn't see, like American slashers, dude. Yeah. Fuck
yeah. So he's on the right path. But so I watched that, and then Nail Gun Massacre. I had like the I forget who released it. Was it Magnet or Magnum Video?
Magnum.
Yeah, I got that clam. I threw that in, and I did not watch April Fool's Day this year on the first. I watched Slaughter High. because every year I usually watch April Fool's Day, but this year I decided to do some Slaughter High, which is also an April Fool's based movie. And last but not least, and this comes in the form of a question, do you like Night of the Demons 2?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not like, I don't praise it. It's not something I'm like, oh, fucking Night of the Demons 2, but yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, because I threw it on. Like, I've had the VHS for years, and I just was reaching for something that I'm just like, I don't remember if I like this or not. Because the first one is fucking gold, right? Like, Night of the Demons is one of the fucking best of all time, but it was all right. And I was kind of like in and out of paying attention to it. I just kind of threw it on, and I'm like, I guess. I don't know, man.
But yeah.
I watched that. So, and then we got, is it next weekend? Is the Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead double feature?
Fuck, is that already next weekend?
I think so.
I haven't bought tickets yet. But yeah, the fucking drive-in bias is doing Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead fucking double feature because that anniversary of Dawn of the Dead is going through.
Yeah.
And then the drive-through bias got it, which I'm glad because I was going to have to drive to fucking Flint or Howell to go
just
see
for-
it. Which is like
just for Dawn,
which is like an hour, and it's only Dawn.
Yeah, this one's
and then
a
fucking
feature.
A driving bias was able to get a hold of them and get it, and they were able to add Day to it, so they're doing a double feature at a drive-in, Dawn and Day.
Fucking dude, and we got to hit that, man.
I feel like we need like a driver.
We can arrange that. We can arrange that.
Because I'm going to pack it. We'll pack a cooler.
Dude, I'm taking my bong. I'm getting done with it. I'm taking the bong ripper.
Dude, so many friends are going to be there. Like, Mark's already picked up tickets.
Yeah, I seen that.
Pretty sure Zoe's going to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be a happening. So
mm-hmm.
We'll be there. I'm pretty sure it's next weekend.
God, I got to look that up. Hopefully it didn't sell out. Like I don't think it would.
I think it's like the...
They're doing it two nights. It's Friday and Saturday.
Isn't it the 11th and 12th or the 12th and the 13th?
I'm very horrible with not paying attention to dates. I see things are happening and I'm like, cool, I'm going to go to that. And if I think it's a far enough in advance, I don't pay attention to the date because I'm like, yeah, I'll see updates later on.
Oh, they're doing Evil Dead 2 as well.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So, but yeah, we have to go see that.
Absolutely. You kidding me?
I mean, it's Romero, dude. He's the GOAT.
I'm trying to think. Like, I know they've done like bringing movies back into theaters. I don't think I've ever seen a Romero movie in an actual theater.
Night of the Living Dead 90. You and I.
Oh yeah.
That'd be
Friday Night Double Features
mm-hmm.
when they were doing those. Yeah.
Yeah, we've totally seen that one. That. And I've seen the original Night of the Living Dead during pandemic on the outside of the Redford Theater. They projected it on the wall.
I've seen OG Night of the Living Dead outside of the Senate Theater with you.
Oh, and yeah. We went to that, too.
Right. I saw it in a cemetery.
Which is fucking awesome.
That was fucking sick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's... I totally forgot about 90. I forgot about Fright Night Double Features.
Yeah, we went because I think that was even when we didn't know... What was going
to
play?
Yeah, it was before I got put on the fucking text list.
Yeah.
Because they weren't telling you. You couldn't get a hold of the theater to let you know what was going on. They would just give you some, like, old-ass public domain movie.
Yeah.
They would be like, oh, this was playing. But when you got on the actual fucking mailing list, they would tell you what was actually playing.
Basically.
So we would show up and just be like, what the fuck's playing today?
Yeah, the first few times we went, we didn't know what they were going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So what they would do is... rent out one of the theaters at Imagine and then do a double feature, which was what, $10, $5 a movie or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was like $10.
$10 for two movies. Sometimes they'd show three.
Right. Oh, there and was then, a triple feature one.
Yeah, and they would encourage beach balls and laser pens and you could talk during it. They served beer and shit. And publicly in the paper and online, they would put two random ass public, like the hearse from 1924,
yeah.
Right? And then like another shitty, like fucking black and white movie. But once you got inside, they would have the hosting people would like do a little thing before they started and tell you the movies that were playing. So the first few times we went, we didn't know what we were going to see. And I remember Cujo and House of the Devil, I believe, was the first fucking...
I don't think that was the first one.
What was the first one? I think that was the
first
one.
Was that the first one?
House of the Devil was the first one that I... Because I'll never forget that. Because we sat right up in the front.
Well, I remember we sat in, like, towards the front. Cause when we got there, people are all scattered and clustered. So we just like, we'll just go here. And it was like closer to the front. And then I remember like House of the Devil starts off. And I knew what the fuck it was right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to say...
I fucking love that movie.
I want to say Cujo was the other one. It was a double feature. But then we went another time, and it was like the Corey Feldman, his birthday or something, and they played Friday the 13th Part 4 and another Corey Feldman movie.
I don't even remember.
Maybe it was Gremlins.
Maybe. I remember The Stuff.
That was one.
Seen The Stuff there.
The Stuff. Maybe that was the House of the Devil one. The Stuff and House of the Devil.
Because I think we moved. We were sitting down at one, and then we moved up for the next movie. And that might have been, we were sitting down for House of the Devil and moved up for Stuff.
Yeah, because it was too much to sit that close to the fucking screen.
That's, who the fuck sits that close?
That's how I know it was my first time. But we did see Friday the 13th, the final chapter there. Night of the Living Dead, 1990.
Did we see Prowler?
No.
Burning or something?
No, they had that one triple feature. That was like Happy Birthday to Me, Graduation Day, and fucking like Prom Night. And we were supposed to go, but I think you had a flat tire.
Oh, no, it wasn't even a flat tire. My fucking shit was like leaking. Like,
oh, yeah.
I blew out fucking all of my fluids and shit in my engine. Like, oh, man. If I would have tried driving to that.
Because we were working together at the warehouse at the time, and we were like, dude, we got the text. Like, dude, they're playing this tonight. We were going to go until like the end of the day. You're like, dude. I can't drive. I'm like,
yeah, my shit got fucked.
Yeah, all good though. Like we went and seen quite a few there, but yeah, we did see Night of the Living Dead 90 and the original in theater. Now we get to see Dawn and Day, so that's sweet. But yeah, so Black Pass 1989, check it out if you haven't, and if you have, watch it again because it fucking rules. And I'm thinking we're gonna wrap this up.
I think we're about fucking done, man. I don't know what else we're going to talk about here.
Probably the beers we're going to drink and the pizza we're going to eat.
We can just have casual conversation.
I think we just did that for like 15 minutes.
Actually, we did kind of do that.
I'm Googling.
But it's all right, man.
Drive-in theater times in Michigan, and there's people that don't even live in this state that listen to us. So... thanks for listening, guys, and I'm sure we'll have another episode in another couple of weeks. I know we're doing the drive-in next weekend, and then the weekend after that is probably the next episode. I know the new Bong Ripper comes out on the 19th, which is a Friday. So we'll probably record on 420, which is the Saturday.
Yeah, dude, fucking 420. If you're on the East Coast,
next time.
All right, man.
See you.
See you.